Welcome to Delight in Grace, the teaching ministry of Rich Powell, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Winston-Salem. You've heard the expression, work hard, play hard. Well, both working and enjoying are built into this life that God has given us. In Ecclesiastes 11, Solomon offers us wisdom for both areas, reminding us that both our work and play must be anchored in an accurate view of eternity and a submission to our Heavenly Father. Let's listen in. Today's broadcast is the third part of the study in Ecclesiastes 11. It was originally preached on July 22, 2018 at Grace Bible Church in Winston-Salem. You can hear more at www.delightingrace.com.
As Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Notice that verse does not say it's not okay to make plans. You should make plans. That is a part of good stewardship. But remember that the purpose of the Lord is what will stand. There's the wonder. And that is why the prophet Isaiah said, chapter 6, verse 3, the whole earth is full of His glory. Sowing and wonder. So generously. So diligently. It's so important in relationships. As you speak into each other's lives. You need encouragement. Encourage somebody else. Reach out into somebody's life. Listen to them. Ask them, how can you pray for them? How can you help them? How can you come alongside them? You say, well, Rich, I'm an introvert. Listen, let me tell you something. Do you know who's an introvert in this room? I am. I am an introvert. Do you know what that means? Talking to you is exhausting. That's exactly what that means. Some people talk and they are energized by it. Not for me. I go home and I crash. Whether it's a dinner or counseling or whatever, or this. It's exhausting to me. And you say, Rich, you know, it's just, you know, reaching out to other people, it's just not my thing. I'm an introvert. So? Your obedience to God is not contingent upon your personality. I said that to the first service. I said, that's a good one. You need to write that down. Because it's not. We are called to be sowers. So generously, so diligently, in the routines of life. Give yourself to your friends and neighbors to help them, to encourage them. Plant encouraging words into people's ears. Write a note. How many of you know what writing a note is? Practice that. Call somebody. Invite them to coffee. Visit them at their house. Plan a dinner date. Do it. Because you are a sower. You are either a sower or you are a consumer. You don't want to be the latter. And so, the first section, verses 1 to 6, is sowing in wonder. The second section we come upon now is beginning at verse 7. And the second section of this chapter is knowing and pleasure. It's kind of the opposite, isn't it? Instead of wonder, it's knowing. There are things that we can know. Listen to me. There are things that we must know. But also the fact that God created us to enjoy pleasure. So we were created to experience pleasure, but it needs to be an informed pleasure. All right, let's look at the text again. Let's observe the text once again, okay? Verse 7. Let's look at pleasure first. Let's look at the theme of pleasure in verses 7 to 10. Light is sweet. That's pleasure, isn't it? And it is pleasant for the eyes. That's pleasure. Verse 8, let him rejoice in them. There it is, that's pleasure. Verse 9, rejoice, O young man, in your youth. Let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. Now, if you were to take verse 9 and just cut it out of Scripture, away from any context, you could build a whole narcissistic theology on that, couldn't you? And many have. But that's not the point. You have to keep it in context. Remember, we experience life under the sun, but it will not make sense unless we have a reference from beyond the sun. So this is life in a nutshell. So there is that pleasure. We were designed for pleasure, so enjoy the good pleasures of the gifts that God gives. But listen, it needs to be, listen to me, it needs to be an informed pleasure. Now, Rich, what do you mean by that? Well, let's look at the text. Two places. There are things we can know and there are things we must know. Same thing. We can know them and we must know them. The first one is in verse 8. Let him remember. And the second one is in verse 9. But know that for all these things. So we are called to remember and to know. Because these are things we can know and therefore we must know them. So let's unpack them here for just a moment. First of all, knowing and pleasure. Life in a nutshell, right, is sowing in wonder, knowing and pleasure. So to what does this call us? First of all, it calls us to humility. It calls us to humility. Because look at what we can know and must know. We must know that we can run down the aisle. All right, I'm just kidding. Verse 1, remember the day, here it is, listen to me. Look at the text of Scripture, okay? So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all, but, you got this? Let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. What is he saying? The days of darkness, what is that? That's the unseen world. You know what that is? That's the grave. That's where you are after you are under the sun. Now, understand, Solomon had far less revelation about the afterlife than you and I do today. We live post-resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was not. So he had far less information than we do about this. So that's why he says the days of darkness. That is after under the sun. That's when you've bought the farm, you're lying in the casket. Okay? What is he saying here? What is the meaning of what he's saying here in verse 8? Enjoy life, yes, but remember this. Life is what? It is short. Life is short. It is a temporary trust. Life is very short. Like Heather wrote about this morning in that blog about her friend Dennis. 39 years old. And he's no longer there. Separate. Life is short. Look what he says at the end of verse 10. At the end of the chapter. This is how he ends this chapter. The last phrase of verse 10. For youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Youth and the dawn of life are vanity. You know, if I could be really crazy this morning, I would require everybody under 30 years old to recite that with me. Right? Youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Why does he say that? Because what is the characteristic of youth and the dawn of life? Two things. Number one, I am invincible. Right? But here's the other one. Not only do you feel a sense of invincibility, like nothing's going to happen to me, I'm so young, right? But here's the reason why. I've got my whole life in front of me. You know, I remember thinking that last week. And then I remember, wait, that was 20 years ago. I've got my whole life in front of me. So you think there's an eternity. You see the path of your life going down the road and it just goes into these clouds and you're not even thinking about the end of your life. And that's why Solomon says youth and the dawn of life are vanity because they don't think about the end of their lives. You must. Because this life is short. It is very short. If you were to take eternity represented by that wall to that wall and one continuous line, what is your life on that line? It is one tiny, tiny speck. And we can become so preoccupied with that one tiny speck that we lose sight of everything after that. And Solomon says, it's vanity to do that. There is more to this life than the gifts that you enjoy now. And so he says, remember that the days of darkness will be many. That's the first thing we must know. We can know and must know. This life is short. Don't forget that. Secondly, know that for all these things, verse 10, verse 9, know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Well, that just throws a damp cloth on everything, doesn't it? Well, that's not what he's trying to do. He is informing us that, yes, life was created to enjoy. We are created to experience pleasure, but it is to be an informed pleasure. Why? Because an accounting is coming. And that takes us right back to what is life all about? Are you a consumer or are you a sower? An accounting is coming, and the gifts of life were meant to be enjoyed. Yes, the gifts of life were meant to be enjoyed, but we are to enjoy them with gratitude. They are not to be worshipped. We are to keep them in their place. The gifts of life are not your chief end or your chief good. They are not your satisfaction. They are not your identity. The car that you drive, the house that you live in, they are not your satisfaction. They are not your identity. And yet everything about our culture tells us that they are. And it's a lie. Life is short, and God will bring you into judgment for all of these things. What is he saying by that? He's saying, as Proverbs says, Solomon said in Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Thanks for joining us here at Delight in Grace. You've been listening to Rich Powell, the lead pastor at Grace Bible Church in Winston-Salem. The Delight in Grace mission is to help you know that God designed you to realize your highest good and your deepest satisfaction in Him, the one who is infinitely good. We hope you'll join us again on weekdays at 10 a.m.